Friends, that account that I read for you this morning from John's Gospel is one more of the Gospel accounts of events when Jesus met with his disciples after the resurrection. It's a story recorded by someone who was actually there, for John was one of the individuals present. And it's a very touching story. Very moving, as Simon Peter is invited to profess his faith and his love for the Savior. But of course, there's a story behind the story. You know those things that they refer to in the news these days as the backstory? Well, there's a backstory to this account. And I want to take you through it. I won't read the whole passage, but I'll draw out some points for it. And it's recorded in Luke's Gospel. And it starts, this behind-the-scenes story, starts on the eve when Christ was arrested. And there was a certain dispute amongst the disciples. They were gathered with Jesus, and a dispute arose amongst them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Now, this may seem strange, but here they were on the night when the Lord was about to be arrested, and on the evening before his crucifixion, and his disciples were kind of arguing over who of them was most important. But anyway, in the midst of it all, Simon Peter, who was that impetuous spokesperson for the 12 often, in the light of this conversation with Jesus, made a declaration. Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me." And Luke continues with the narrative of the events of that evening. Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane after they had shared the Passover meal together. And then suddenly, in the quietness of that place, a crowd came. Leading them was a familiar figure, the disciple, Judas. And he approached Jesus to embrace him. There was a little scuffle. Impetuous Peter was once more in the midst of it. Somehow he drew a sword or knife, and intending to defend Jesus, ended up cutting the ear off the high priest's servant, which Jesus healed. But then, of course, events continued to unfold. Those who had come with Judas were from the temple guard. They arrested Jesus. He protested, you see, that they didn't have to come after him as though he was an ordinary convict of some sort. He'd been with them in the temple every day, and they hadn't taken any action to detain him there. But they came under cover of night and let him off. And the place they took him was to the house of the high priest. Now Peter was falling, and as we learn, he was actually secured admission to the high priest household because John again had some connections and knew the person keeping the door, and so Peter was permitted to go into the courtyard where Jesus was being held, and he stood as the night was a cold one, the account tells us. They kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down, and Peter sat down with him. And then things began to happen. A servant girl saw Peter in the firelight, and she stared at him and she said, "This man was also with him." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And the account in Luke tells us that a little later, someone else, seeing Peter there by the fire, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I'm not." "I don't know what you're talking about." And then Luke tells us that about an hour later, while, of course, things were going on to do with the arrest of Jesus, and the Sanhedrin was gathering, trying to decide what next steps to take, And another man said, "Surely you also were with him. You're a Galilean." No doubt referring to the fact that Galileans had a fairly pronounced accent and was recognizable, and of course Jesus was associated with Galilee. And again, the third time, Peter made his denial. And while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. And Luke records that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Luke adds in his account, "Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now that's the story behind the meeting that was our gospel lesson this morning on the shores of Tiberias or Galilee. You see, it was no real coincidence that Jesus asked Peter to affirm his love three times. It was the bitter reminder to Peter that he had, in fact, despite his boasting, denied even knowing the Lord three times. The significance of this story, at least in part, is that God in his grace is a God of second chances. In fact, if you're counting, it was more than Peter's second chance. And Jesus restores him, pardons him, and actually gives him a role to play in these things that lie ahead. For the disciples, you see, are being prepared for the challenge that will be theirs to carry the news of Jesus Christ out into the world. And Peter will be amongst them, restored, forgiven, reunited in that tight bond that had been there between Peter and his Lord. A bond that had been broken in a way by his denial. Peter surely was pondering what his denial would mean, and yet he hadn't forsaken keeping company with the disciples. And he had seen the risen Lord, but he was a denier. What would his place be in this work that the Lord had for his disciples to do? Would Peter be excluded? No. He was pardoned. He was restored. Not only was he restored to a place, he was given a role to play in what the Lord was preparing for his disciples. Now, in our world, there's a certain tension about how people respond to God's grace. You know what I mean? Some people sort of say, oh, well, God forgives everybody. And so that covers me. There are also people who are struggling spiritually because they hesitate and are uncertain about really believing that God's grace is for them. And of course, both are very unfortunate situations to be in. Because the individual who simply presumes upon God's grace in Christ doesn't learn anything about it, doesn't grow in it, doesn't mature in faith. They just go along casually saying, well, you know, God forgives, I'm covered. And then others hang their heads and say, I believe, but I think perhaps I've denied him too much. I've behaved in ways that God won't forgive. And I guess I'm out of it. This passage is good news for you and I. I mean, in the honesty of our hearts, we know how undeserving we are of God's grace. And how rightfully God could have dismissed us long ago as unworthy servants. And yet, we are reminded in this story that God does forgive. And we are invited not to take that for granted simply, but we are invited to live in that faith and in that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, like Peter, are sent out, commissioned, frail and with all our weaknesses and hesitations, yet buoyed up by the Lord to do this work of sharing the news of Christ's resurrection in the world. And that gives us strength to begin. And of course, it also gives us something to share. Because if we talk about God's grace, almost certainly, sooner or later, we will bump into someone who will painfully confess that they do not believe that God could forgive them. And then our mission on Christ's behalf is to speak about pardon, about healing, about restoration, about renewal, about life, about hope, about peace, about joy. And we have ample reason to do that, and ample strength to make that testimony, because God has made his grace so clearly evident in his word, and very dramatically portrayed in the story of Peter on the shores of Lake Tiberias. So, treasure this story. It speaks to us, it gives us encouragement, it reminds us of our calling in Christ, and it also reminds us of the message that we have to share. Without being casual or presumption, or using presumptions about grace, we know it's real. And we know that if it is earnestly sought, it is richly and graciously bestowed. It's good news. Treasure it. Take it with you. Speak of it often. Thanks be to God. Amen.